This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in studio with Bruce Adams. It's been one of those days where personal journeys and stories are kind of, and Thanksgiving, it's kind of appropriate, right? And Bruce Adams, you know his voice. He's on with us a fair amount. He runs the Credit Union League of Connecticut. And we always have great conversations about family, about business, about money. And today we'll do a little bit of that. But, you know, you're going to be here for the remainder of the show. And you had basically, what would you call it, a life-changing moment?
Yeah, near-death experience. I mean, it's as simple as that.
There's no other way. It's not melodramatic or hyperbolic to say that. So I know your story, and I also, you know, read your incredible letter to your constituents. But what happened?
I was on a Zoom meeting with my team, and we were planning for, I had a big conference coming up, so there was, you know, last minute details to work out. I had a couple meetings earlier in the morning, you know, stressful. It was a stressful morning, but not out of the ordinary. I stood up to get a glass of water, and it's like somebody flipped a switch. I couldn't catch my breath. I got all squirrely. If I was sitting, I had to stand. If I was standing, I had to lie down. I had a cold sweat. But none of those things that you hear on the news, like, is your left arm, you know, super painful? Is an elephant sitting on your chest? It was nothing like that. So
were you by yourself?
I was by myself. Yeah. And so luckily I didn't just drop dead, and I had the presence of mind to text my girlfriend. And I said, I think something's really wrong here, but it could be a panic attack. I don't know. And so she said, do you want me to come out and see you? She lives in Simsbury. And I said, yes, please. And then like 2 minutes later, I texted her and I said, should I call 911? And she texted me back and said, they're already on their way. So like she made the phone call, and you know, within, I don't know, 90 seconds, I heard the sirens and they picked me up, and you know, we can talk about the rest.
And but were you in, like, because for me, like, I'm projecting, I'm 2 years older than you. Yeah. So like I'm thinking, like, in this situation, were you self-aware that something was happening? And then when you sat down again, were you in pain, or did it sort of subsided?
So it wasn't a lot of pain. It was okay. A super amount of uncomfortability. Like I just, I tried to sit back in the chair, and I was like moving everywhere. It was just like I was full of snakes.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, you know, I think if I had had a huge amount of pain.
It's like an agitated state almost.
Super agitated. Yeah. And I couldn't quite get a full breath. Like I couldn't, like if you have a bronchial infection in the middle of winter, sometimes you just don't feel like you can really expand your lungs. That's what it felt like. But it didn't feel like those things. If I'd had those classic symptoms, I would have called 911 right away.
Right.
And I think that's what happens with a lot of people who go through this. And as I understand it, especially women will discount it as heartburn. They'll discount it as anxiety. They'll discount it as whatever. And then maybe they drive themselves to urgent care, but all of those delays in getting the service is what leads to damage to the heart muscle. So for me, everything happened so fast in terms of getting care. I kind of have a brand new heart.
Like, well, let's put up what when you get on the gurney, you go to the hospital, and then what do you find out?
Well, for me, I found out a few days later because I don't quite remember.
You really went under and like didn't wake up for days.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can tease that out a little bit as we go. But yeah, I mean, I remember the ambulance door opening, and there was a team of people looking in right in the bay, not with smiles on their faces. And before they even pulled me off the rig, they were putting a new EKG on me and said, yeah, this one looks worse than the one they sent us wirelessly.
Well, that's going right upstairs. That's what I was amazed at by the story, by the way, from a healthcare perspective. In the ambulance, they can take those readings and they transmit it to the hospital. So the hospital was mobilized because it read it and knew you were in trouble before you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, you know, it was like a well-orchestrated football play. Like everybody had their role to play. Everybody was in place.
Which hospital?
St. Francis.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I loved the care I got. I loved the ICU. I loved my surgeon. Everything there was excellent.
So when you say, and again, we have plenty of time here, but I want to get some of this stuff out of the way. When you say you basically have a brand new heart, what did they do?
Well, so they did a quintuple bypass, and the way they call it, the surgery...
That's five?
Five.
Okay.
And the acronym for the surgery is CABG. So I got a CABG times five, and it's CABG, coronary artery bypass graft. So they took a look at my heart. They put the little camera in on a wire from my leg up to my heart, saw that there was a bunch of sludge in the tubes. And they said, well, we can't push it out. So they took some veins out of my leg and just snipped off the clogged part and put on new clean tubes.
Wow. And that works.
It was a plumbing issue.
And how does that happen? Like, is that lifestyle, genetics? Like, what got that stuff to clog up your arteries?
So that's a really interesting question. And it's one of the reasons why I'm taking a good long time for recovery. And I'm sort of blessed to be able to have the time to do it. But I think coming out of COVID, I took my
eye off. This happened, what, 3 weeks ago?
Seven at this point.
Okay, okay.
So, yeah, no, 3 weeks ago, we wouldn't be talking.
You're right, okay, yeah.
As I look back pre this event and coming out of COVID, you know, certainly we all lived through a ton of stress. I probably wasn't managing my diet. But I wasn't drinking duck fat, you know, for breakfast, but, you know, maybe approaching that range, I don't know, but I just wasn't like regularly doing the blood work and watching that stuff. I'm guessing because it just happened.
We're talking with Bruce Adams with the Credit Union League of Connecticut about his experience. I mean, is that did you have a massive heart attack? Is that what you would call it?
Yeah, they call it a STEMI, ST elevated myocardial infarction. So now I'm a scientist.
You're good with your acronyms and stuff. That's good.
But that's the bad heart attack. Yeah. And so that's why there's this system in place in Connecticut, many other places across the country, where they come out, they put the fancy EKG on you, send it wirelessly. And if they read that thing, they say, don't pass go, don't collect $200, go right in, get to the cath lab and...
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What's the statute of limitations on having a little bit of humor on us?
Oh, that passed. Okay. Gallows humor.
I like the early 90s grunge look, by the way, and the slightly disheveled hair. Like, it's a good look.
Yeah, well.
Like, it's like you and I are going to brunch in 1995 and we're hungover. Kidding aside, you know, the one thing I'm curious about, because I've never had this kind of experience, so emotionally,
yeah.
Like where are you?
Yeah, so it's an excellent question, and I think when we think about recovery from a heart attack, especially for a young guy who's pretty fit with young kids, like, you know, I'm blessed and I'm grateful and lucky to have a full expectation of a full physical recovery.
Right.
I know that I've got regular life expectancy. I can throw the football with my kid.
Able to exercise? Like, will you be scared? Will you? I don't know. I hate to digress, but we talked about this off the air, and I did this with Glenn Caffrey too. Like, the body is an engine, right? Yeah. And it can break, and you can get spare parts, and you know, maybe like a race car, you get a new engine or whatever. But I would be frightened to
100%
push my heart.
Well, and so that's the thing. And I wrote about that, maybe in the message you saw or in a different message, but, you know, your heart is a simple pump, right?
Right.
All it does is squeeze blood through it. And you've got electrical signals from your brain telling it when to do that. And then you got the plumbing, the tubes that bring the blood there. It's underneath a bony, you know, structure. It's not designed to be taken out and tinkered with. It works for 100 years without the need for service.
Right.
Not like your knee that you can get fixed and replaced.
Right.
So when somebody holds their heart in your hand and, you know, messes with it. Like, it messes with your head.
Do they really take your heart?
Well,
I mean, essentially,
figuratively speaking, I mean, they touch it.
Yeah. Right?
They clip the things and the thing's still beating. And I had a whole conversation with my surgeon, like, you know, you've seen a part of me I haven't seen, you know, you and the 12 other people in the room. Like, what did it look like in there?
They don't videotape it. I have no idea. Like,
yeah. And he was like, it looked great. It looked perfect. You're a young guy. Like, you know, I get it. You're freaked out about this. And take the time to reckon with that. But like, that's an important part of recovery, is getting your head right.
But I wonder, honestly, if you ever get your heart rate up and go for a jog, is that going to freak you out?
Until it doesn't. I mean, that's what, so I just started cardiac rehab today. At Hartford Healthcare. Actually, I went to St. Francis for the surgery, but it's more convenient for me to drive west than east into Hartford.
Sure.
And the folks there are great. And so I just started today, and they, you know, I was walking on a treadmill at a snail's pace, and I've been walking at home, you know, walking around outside, feeling good. And they said, like, yeah, but we got to start you slow, and we got to monitor you and watch you and track your progress. And you'll have good progress, but you still got to start where you start.
Yeah.
And that's really a really important lesson. Like, whether it's dealing with my emotions or my, you know, my heart health or whatever, you got to start where you start and just work the program.
So has it changed your, like, I mean, I hate to get cheesy or sentiment, but like, what does it do to your life perspective? Are you going to travel the world? Are you kissing your kids 40 times a day? Like, what actually changes?
Yes. I mean, to all of those things. Like, I do. I think about I haven't taken vacations in my job, like, more than a day or two here or there. I took one vacation since I started in 2019. That's going to change. Like, employers give you the time to take vacations so that you can decompress, so that you can get perspective, so that you can, not have a heart attack on their health insurance policy, right? Like, that's their interest in doing it. People need to have that time. I got to think about what I eat. Like, I'm cooking for my kids. If they don't finish their plate, like, am I shoveling their scrambled eggs in my mouth in the morning? Because if I do that and I don't think about that, I've had three breakfasts.
Yeah.
Those sorts of intentional changes are really important to pay attention to.
So, like, why is it important? First of all, I mean, we don't hang out at the bar, but I mean, we have a really good relationship, and I appreciate your time on the show. Like, why the urge to talk about it?
Yeah, I think this is part of my recovery. I think that for me right now, it's all about gratitude. And I think, you know, I do think about it with credit unions too. And we got time to talk about money and planning and being ready for a financial shock. That's really important. But Lord knows the bills are coming in and it's wild. For me, I gotta share this stuff. Like, it's not a secret. Right. And certainly this summer when I go swimming, everybody's going to see this cool scar I have on my chest. So might as well start talking about it now. And one of the cool things is I did this LinkedIn post. I talked about my story.
Yep.
And I got all this great response. And, you know, it's so easy to hit a like button. But what was amazing was the amount of DMs that I got from people I'm not even connected with. Saying, and here's a good example, like, women talking about, like, women's health issues with me, saying, I had this experience and it was so transformative and I'm glad you're talking about it and best of luck in your recovery.
Huh.
But people, it's like when people see a priest in the grocery store, they're like, I'm sorry, I haven't been to confession, but let me confess all this stuff to you.
Right.
Like, that's what's happening to me right now.
Huh.
And it gives me perspective on the gratitude that, like, I didn't drop dead. So now I've got a reason to be a sounding board for people. Like, people want to talk to me. I want to talk to people.
It's inspiring. There's no way to really segue, but like, so you spent a lot of time on the couch watching cable news.
Yeah.
I mean, you actually were sitting there through a pretty historic time.
Yeah.
I mean, we might as well see how sharp you are on the business side of things.
All right,
like,
hit me.
Tariffs, like, you know, interest rates, you know, people are forget about inflation in the grocery store. We know it's real.
Yeah.
But people are wondering, should we take some profits off our stock market? And like, people really honestly are talking about wondering what to do with their money if they have some.
Look, I think that the basic rule still stands, and it stands whether or not you've had a heart attack. You haven't had a heart attack, whether Kamala Harris was elected or Donald Trump was elected, whether Warren Buffett tells you to freak out about Apple stock or not. Like, all of these things are snapshots. They're moments in time. And if we're managing our money, whether we're dealing with money in a shoebox or we're dealing with money in a retirement fund or whatever, you got to stretch out your time horizon because things normalize over longer cycles. So make a plan and work it. Yeah, we're going to have volatility in the market. We're going to have wild changes probably in tax policy. Rich people are likely going to get richer. Tariffs aren't going to work. We've known that since 1930. Like, they don't work. But we're going to try it. And we're going to have all these people, you know, pulling their hair out, talking about policy and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, if you don't make wild moves on your money and you make generally good choices that stand the test of time, you're going to grow your money. And by the way, you're not going to have the stress that's going to give you a heart attack like I had.
He still got it. He can still do it. He still got it. Yeah, I mean, I think the tariff thing, I think a lot of it is try to get leverage on some other stuff, right? I mean, I think that I don't see Canada and Mexico getting 25% tariffs. But it's a way to maybe get better help on the border.
I mean, I might buy fake maple syrup now because, like, it's so expensive anyway.
Yeah, my wife got this thing at Costco. It's like this giant maple leaf. It looks like bourbon, but it's the thing of syrup. It's like, it's amazing. Bruce, I'm glad you're alive.
Yeah, well, me too.
I think it's incredible. And, you know, all of it makes me nervous. I don't think about death or so on and so forth. But, you know, when people in your cohort go through something like this, it gives everybody a little bit of pause. So I think it's real benefit to our audience to hear it. So thank you for doing it.
Yeah, well, thank you, Brian. It's great help for me to talk about it too.